Lord, what is this world coming to? What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can. In the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shut up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. We're so happy to have you this morning tuning in to us. We're so thankful to Almighty God because of your listenership. You have made this program, the Situation Room, the number one program here on KLITB, and we are so thankful to Almighty God. And we are so thankful too that this station is the number three station, ladies and gentlemen, as it relates to preaching and teaching on Live 365. This is the number three station. We have ranked number three out of hundreds of stations, ladies and gentlemen. And so you're not just listening to just a little fly-by-night, somebody who's up here experimenting. No, no, this is a station that has been raised up, I believe, by Almighty God to really get the word out. That's what we are trying to do. We are trying our best to get the word out. And by you listening, you are helping us get the word out. Because we know that once you hear it, you're going to tell your friends. And you're going to tell your friends' friends. And you're going to tell your cousin them. And BB them. And Bobo them. And we just going to keep growing. And one day you're going to hear me get on here and I'm going to announce that we are the number one station on Live 365. All right. All right. But today we got a great program for you. This is the day that we answer marriage questions and answers, give marriage questions and answers. So, but before I do that, let me just give some contact information. If you would like us to answer a marriage question or a Bible question or a question that is related to the Christian life or Sunday school, you just want to give you want to get a Christian perspective on what's happening in our world today, send your questions in and you can email them at BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. Or you can call them in and leave it on my voicemail, 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. All right, all right. Well, let me go get my Bible here. And let's mean, go ahead and get these questions here. We got a couple of questions this morning. Let me get out of that. And all right, here we go. All right, my husband's job is transferring him to another state, and we have to move. But I don't want to move from my job, my family, friends, and church. What's your advice for me? Let me read the question again to make sure I got it down. My husband's job is transferring him to another state, and we have to move. But I don't want to move from my job, my family, friends, and church. What's your advice for me? Well, before I tell you what to do, let me tell you what not to do. Can I tell you what not to do? Don't stay behind and choose your family, friends, and your church over your husband. That's the first thing you don't want to do. You don't want to try to keep your marriage together by living apart in two different states. That's what you don't want to do. You don't want to stay behind and he's in one state and you're another state and y'all trying to have a long distance marriage. And see, I believe that a wife's place is beside her husband. Listen, when God created Eve, how did he create Eve? Let me just ask you a question. You know your Bible. I know some of you out there know your Bible. Where did God? The Bible says God took Eve, took a rib out of Adam's side, and he fashioned, with that rib, he made a woman. He made Eve from the rib of Adam's side. Now you think about it. What God was really trying to teach us there, I believe one of the lessons, out of the many lessons you can learn from that operation of God, I think God was trying to teach us that the woman's place is to always be beside her husband. So if your husband has transferred, your place is to be beside your husband. It's not to be ahead of your husband, or behind your husband, or under your husband, but it's to be beside your husband. So that would be my advice to you. Don't stay behind. Make sure that you stay beside your husband and you keep up with your husband. Because, see, listen. A wife supposed to be a covering for her husband. And a husband supposed to be a covering for the wife. The Bible says that we are not to give the devil an opportunity. See, I don't believe that if you're going to try to have a strong marriage, that you can have a strong marriage living apart. No, it's too much temptation out there. It's too much. The devil today is trying his best to split up families, bust up families, break up homes and stuff. And so if he got y'all living in two separate states, then man, that's just a recipe for the devil. That's the devil's playground. And you don't want to give the devil a toehold in your life. See, I believe that once you give the devil a toehold, then the devil is going to take a foothold. Then once you give the devil a foothold, then the devil is going to get a stronghold in your life. And once the devil get a stronghold in your life, it's going to be real, real hard to get that devil out your life. So don't give the devil a toehold. Don't give him a toehold. You know, they used to sing the old song, "Don't let the devil ride." Don't let him ride. Because if you let the devil ride, then the devil going to want to drive. So don't let the devil ride. That's some advice that I would do. Is, you know, don't stay behind. See, the thing about the Christian life is the Christian life, beloved, you realize this. The Christian life is all about growing up. It's about maturing in the faith. But in order to grow, you got to go through some changes. Yeah. And see, this is growing pains. If your husband is being transferred to another state, yes, you're being taken out of your comfort zone, and you're going to have to go back through some growing pains. And see, most of us don't like to change, but in order for you to grow, you got to change. And I know that change can be hard, but that's why you have to pray. That's why you got to pray and ask God to help you to change the things that need to be changed and to accept the things that can't be changed. That's how you need to pray. And so if the decision has already been made, then ask God to help you to accept that decision and go on with your husband and trust God. Because God can give you some new friends. He can give you, a new church, give you a new job. See, don't stop your blessing. See, God has got some bigger things and some better things ahead if you're willing to change. See, you gotta have faith, my sister. So, now if the decision hadn't already been made about transferring, then you and your husband, you still got time to, you know, tell your husband how you feel, and y'all can come together and, you know, make a decision about transferring. And, you know, make sure that y'all just in agreement, and make sure you got peace about the decision. But if the decision has already been made, and it sounds like the decision has already been made, you just got to ask God to prepare your heart for the change that he's bringing about in your life. God is bringing about a change so that you can change with the changes. See, most people live life with a closed fist. And see, when you live life with a closed fist, that means you're trying to hold on to something. Now, you can live life trying to hold on to something, and you can keep what you got, but you can't get nothing new and better. Why? Because your fist is closed. But if you have an open hand, you can get something else because your hand is open. Yes, you risk losing what you got, but you can also get something that's even better if you got your hands open. In the same way, God wants us to live our Christian life with an open hand, not with a closed fist, so that he can bless you more and more and more and give you bigger and better things. But you gotta have your hand open. So trust God to give you a new job, new friends, and a new church, and go on and stay beside your husband. That's my advice. All right, let's go on to the next question. All right, I can't get my husband to go to church. He say that he's saved, but I can't get him to go to church. How can I get him to go to church? We've answered a question like this, had a question like this in the past, and boy, this is a $1 million question here. But let me try to answer this. My question to you is why is it that your husband don't want to go to church? You say that he's saved, but why is it? I mean, what reason is he giving you for not going to church? And start there, because there's a number of reasons why men don't go to church. I mean, it's a lot of reasons. See, there could be a social reason why your husband don't go to church. See, does the church that you attend, let me ask you this, Does the church that you attend, is it ran by women? So let me just be frank with you this morning. Because most men don't want to go to a church that's ran by women. At your church, do y'all have a woman pastor? Are women's ministers? Do you just have a heavy women present? What I mean by that is, you have a lot of women's on the usher board, women's greeters, women's in the pulpit, women's doing everything. Well, if your husband come to a church and he see women's doing everything, that's a kind of like a sign that women's run that church, and so he's not gonna have too much of a say so in that church, and it seemed to be almost like a women thing, and so he'll come up in there and he'll look and he say, look like this is a women thing. Let me just move on away from this here, because this seemed like it's a women thing. See, you think about this. If a lot of women, let's say you invite your girlfriends over there to your house, all your friend girls, and let's say it's 10 of y'all that come over there, your husband ain't gonna feel comfortable in a room of 10 ladies, and he's the only man, or let's say three other men come. Well, those other three men, they gonna probably go and get in the backyard or go sit out there on the patio or something. They ain't gonna feel comfortable with all those ladies in it. And that's what's happening in a lot of churches today. A lot of men just don't feel comfortable around a lot of women in the church. Do your church have a lot of homosexual men? See, when your husband walk in that church, when he's going to look up there in the pulpit, if he see that the preacher seem to be like he's on a feminine side or seem to be a gay preacher, and he look over there and he see the minister of music sitting on the piano or sitting on that organ, and he seem to be kind of on the feminine side or gay, and the choir director seem to be feminine and gay, then your husband, if he a real man, 9 times out of 10, he ain't gonna want to come back. He's not gonna want to come back to that church because he see too many sissies. He said, that's a church with a lot of sissies. I don't want to go to that church with all those gay men. That could be some theological. There could be some theological reason why your husband don't want to go to the church. It could be that the pastor preach a lot on money. Do your pastor preach a lot on money? If your pastor preach a lot on money, then he's not going to want to go to that church. If he's thinking that something is wrong with the pastor, that pastor there seemed to be a womanizer. I mean, he seemed to be too fresh and too friendly with the women's, like he's always hugging and kissing on the women's and patting on the women's, then your husband's not going to want to go to a church like that, that seemed like it's something wrong with the pastor. See, the pastor seemed to be greedy or something. You know, he's always talking about money, and he's driving this kind of car and that kind of car. He's dressing real flashy. It seemed to be spending up all the church money on cars and clothes and stuff. So a lot of times men are turned off by that. And so he may not want to go to a church where, you know, the pastor's preaching on money or something that's like that. But I think most of the time, the reason that most men don't want to go to church is because there's a spiritual problem. And that's just not only with men, that's with women, that's with almost anybody. The reason that most people, if the truth really be told, even though he may be pointing his fingers at the pastor and saying, I don't want to go to that church because that pastor not right. I don't want to go to that church because the piano player is not right. Or The choir director is not right, or look like there's so many sisters there. He's finding all these faults. You know, my mama-in-law used to always say, whenever you point your fingers at somebody, then that's three fingers pointing back at you. So if he's pointing his finger at somebody, that's a distraction a lot of time to keep the attention off yourself. There could be something wrong with him. He's not right with God. You know, sometimes men don't go to church because they have fallen into sin. Remember when Adam fell into sin, and you know, when him and Eve, you know, they bit off the forbidden fruit out there in the garden, they hid themselves. They didn't come running to God, they ran from God. And I believe that's how it is today. Whenever you see a man don't want to come to God, then that's a sign that there's some sin in his life. See, there's a sin that's keeping that man from God. I don't know if it's drinking. I don't know if he's, you know, using drugs, alcohol, you know, sex. I don't know what it is. But sometimes there's a sin. Rest assured, a lot of time there's a sin that's keeping people from God. The sin of just disobedience. God done told him to do something, and he's not doing it. Remember Jonah? Jonah, he ran from God. He didn't run to God. God told him to go to Nineveh and preach there in Nineveh. But Jonah went and got on a boat and went in the opposite direction. He went to Joppa, the opposite direction. He was running from God. Why? Because his heart was not right. So when men don't come to God, when they don't come to church, a lot of times they may point their fingers at what they see happening in the church, but most of the time it's something wrong in their own life. You know, Jesus said it like this here in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So the reason your husband could not be coming to the light is because there's some deeds, some evil deeds in his life. And so some men, they don't want to come into the presence of God, into that light, because it's going to expose, light expose darkness. And so they ain't ready for their sins to be exposed. So they're not going to come to no light. So that could be, you know, the reason. And then a lot of times, let me tell you this, a lot of times men's priorities are just out of order. Sometimes people don't want to come to church because their priorities are out of order. Let me give you a scripture over here in Luke chapter 14. Jesus tells this story. Matter of fact, I'll read this story and we'll close out the Situation Room with this today. Luke 14, beginning with verse 15, the Bible says, "And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said unto them, A certain man," here the story is, "made a great supper and bade many." And he asked many to come. "And sent his servant at supper time and say to them that was bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make," here it is, "excuse." They began to make excuse. "The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must need go and see it. I pray thee, have me excuse." So this man got some land, and so his land is keeping him, his love for the land is keeping him from coming to the king. "Another said, I have bought 5 yokes of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused." So his possession of his oxen. He got some oxen. Today, it would be probably our cars and our trucks is keeping a person away. And then, notice, verse 20 says, and another says, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So his marriage, he put his marriage ahead of God. So that the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lane of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halted, and the blind. And the servant says, Lord, it is done, and thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you, that none of those men which was bidden shall taste of my supper. And so you see why these people didn't come to this great king. They didn't come because they had excuses. They let their excuses. They had love for one, had his love for his land. The other one had love for his oxen. Another one had his love for his wife. So the priorities was out of order. See, the scripture said we're supposed to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. See, when you love something else more than you love God, that's idolatry. And so it could be that your husband done got into idolatry. It could be, you know, a lot of men don't come to church on Sunday because they love sports. They love watching football and basketball and baseball. They love their sports more than they love God. Or they love hanging out with the fellas. They're drinking and drugging more than they love God. And so the priorities are all out of order. So I believe, sister, that when people don't come to church, there's a spiritual problem. That regardless of all of these other things they may say, all those other things, you know, they point at the choir, they point at the preacher, they point at, just look at them as excuses. And go with what this scripture here showed you, that men love darkness rather than they love light. That's John 3:19, because their deeds are evil. All right, that's it for today. Thank you so kindly for joining us today in the Situation Room. We hope something was said and something was done to help you on your Christian journey. All right, let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the Word, and at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. So at 9 o'clock, we'll take a look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of a sermon that I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. It's a radio drama about real live people. It'll make you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of a Wednesday night Bible study. We have folks who are not even members of our church who attends our Wednesday night Bible study. So listen to that. Deeper look in the book at 11 o'clock. Then at 12 o'clock, missing these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.